Hi guys, it's Nick Johnson, the commentator. You are listening to Rota Revolution. Enjoy.
We now have breaking news.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the Rota Revolution RC podcast. We interrupt our usual episode schedule to bring you a special edition centered around the recent Dubai Master 3D Invitational Competition. Now, I know we just released an episode last week, and we're going to have one next week too, but I promise we are not going to turn into a weekly podcast. But we thought that releasing this mini episode as close as possible to the end of the contest was worth making an exception for. But before we get into introducing our special correspondent, I just want to shout out Alex, Brian, and Kenny, who are not with me for this special edition, but you'll hear them as well as a special guest next week on our usual schedule. Back to the competition. All right, so in Dubai, the best of the best heli pilots went head-to-head over the course of 3 days to decide the final five winners, all of which walked away with some cash prize money, which is awesome and great to see. The Dubai Masters consisted of several rounds of competition among 16 top pilots over the course of 2 days to decide the five finalists that will compete on day three of the competition. All pilots flew a mix of freestyle pilot's choice rounds, as well as rounds of flights timed to music. And each flight ended with an auto rotation into the tiniest of boxes painted on the paved runway for extra points. So the contest was organized by the Emirates Aerosports Federation and well directed by the one and only Tarek Al Saadi, who was really the driving force behind the whole thing. And you're going to hear in a minute just how hard Tarek worked to make sure the event went off as a success. But enough from me. Let's go now to our roving reporter for a summary of how things went on day one of the competition and a bit of a recap of the practice rounds the day before, where Tarek and the organizers faced kind of a unique challenge. It turned out that some of the competitors were having trouble with radio reception at the downtown Dubai original location. Originally, the contest was to happen in a park, literally in the center of the city itself. But after extensive testing and range testings, it was determined that the contest needed to switch venues. So thanks to Tarek's team's quick thinking, they were able to move the entire contest overnight to a well-equipped flying field outside of town where the contest has been held in the past without issue. So kudos to the event organizers and Tarek for that quick pivot. Now, with that, let me hand things over to our special correspondent on loan from HeliDirect, Mr. Sean Kay. Sean, what can you tell us about day one of the competition?
What's up, Nick? What's up, Brian? What's up, Kenny? What's up, Alex, a.k.a. Rota Revolution? This is Sean Kay here. I want to give you a quick update on day one. It's been amazing. The competition got moved from the original location to the new location, which is, to me, 10 times better. Not as much grass as the other location, but this one is wider. The sun is not an issue for flying. I don't know. It's a flying field. It's the pilot's flying field. Very good. First day, you know, they grabbed for numbers. There was some nervousness, you can see. I talked to Duncan and he said he wished that he would pull the middle of the road number. And he explained it by saying he doesn't want to be first and he doesn't want to be last. It's putting you right in the middle. Gives you a chance to kind of see the competition and also to, gauge what the next round is going to be like instead of having to be the very first or very last on each round. It made sense to him, and that's what he wanted. The competition was fierce. Goose Guy, the RS7, really shined during this competition. And here's the thing. Pilots will have good flights, bad flights. Machines will kind of be what they are. Of course, you do have mechanicals, you know, maybe tip overs, like small little things like that. But there were no really big crashes at all during the competition. And I hope I don't see any. I want everyone to have their machine flying at its best possible condition. So with that said, like I said, the RS7 shined today, and also to the XL Power World Champion kit really shined today. When you look at the models and how they move in the air, the sound of the transmission, the tails, also for me, visibility was huge today. The XL Power World Champion kit, the colors popped. Me and Ethan and I really commented on Kenny's heli, the orange or reddish orange and yellow, could really, really, really see it. There was never a problem with that. Also, too, Carl Heisenberg Siebert, flying XL Power, his green boom and green canopy lit up the sky. We could see it from so far away, and we were, you know, right next to the judges, which was pretty close. The Raws did great. Vava, CD did great. Then his pilots did great. We did notice some mechanicals happening, some one ways going, and there was some other mechanical. But Vava seemed to pull through it with a little bit more confidence and style. I like Vava. He is been a little bit more open to, you know, taking pictures. Not that he wasn't before, but you can tell he's coming into his own. He laid down one of the most insane flights I've ever seen on a Raw 700 today, to the point where Nick, the announcer, stood up. He had not stood up for anyone's flight the whole day. Stood up clapping. The judges were clapping. It was great. Really, this competition is really heavy with two birds, two or three. We're going to say SAB, of course, Goose Guy RS7, and the XO team with the world champion kits. They have stacked a lot of good pilots in this competition. Coming up on third, and I wouldn't say third as in third place, but least amount of pilots shown for these brands was Tron and Mikado. Marco had been flying the Mikado 700, which has been around for a while. But you can clearly see the difference in how this model is performing flight after flight. It just feels offbeat. It's not his flying. It's not his flying. His flying is great. But when you see the same maneuver with the Logo 700 that has an older design, you boom support, stuff like that, it just doesn't have that same pop. Now, his transitions are very smooth. He's very technical, which I appreciate that type of style of flying, but you have to be able to mix it up. And when it comes to that on the deck, aggressive, growling, bass thumping style, it kind of lacks there. The Tron was hanging in there. I love the pilot. The Tron, it's flying like a Tron. It's very stable. It's tracking well in the maneuvers. It's helping him keep his lines here and there. But again, when you have these aggressive kits on the ground in the box right in front of the judges showing off their stuff, it just didn't have, and maybe he needs to run bigger blades, not really sure, but just sitting from the seat. And listen, this is not a brand bashing or a brand exalting, you know, recap. This is what I was seeing as the judges were seeing and hearing what the judges were saying. And some things I agreed with. In fact, most things. Some I did not really. But that is their job to judge. It's not mine. So at the end of the day, Nick was in second and Kenny in first. So that's about it. I will keep you posted on what's coming up next. But all in all, day one was the icebreaker and the chance to see what your model is made for, made with, or how it's built or set up, and get those things fixed overnight. There's going to be a lot of repairing tonight. After the competition was over, we had a few crashes at the end of the field with just random flying. I'm not sure. I think it was Carl. B2 went in and somebody else. Not really sure, but there was a couple, maybe even three crashes down there. So these guys are going to be wrenching tonight. And I know that's the last thing they want on their mind is parts, taking stuff apart, double checking. You know, you want to be able to relax and be able to fly going into day two.
Oh man, dude, that breaks my heart to think of guys crashing while practicing at the end of the day. I honestly can't imagine the stress of trying to repair your model away from home, hoping you got all the parts you need, like going into a big competition like that. Anyway, thanks, Sean. So now we're at the end of day one. As you heard, Nick and Kenny Coe were head to head with many other top pilots hot on their heels. There's still an entire second day of competition left to go at this point before the field gets trimmed down to the final five pilots. With that, Let's go back to Sean to hear more about how things went down on day two. Sean, how'd it go?
At the end of day two, we had a crash. Insert gasp here. Yes. Nick put his helicopter in on the concrete. You can't really land or crash on concrete easily. But man, it went in pretty hard. It was just, yeah. Now, it wasn't a explosion of just confetti, but it just was, the sound of it is just, oh boy. So everyone put on their A game. The stars that were shining were Vava. Campanoy did well as well. And Kenny Cole really shined. I want to give kudos to Nick Maxwell. After his crash, he called for a yellow card. Yellow card is basically a do-over, hey, my bad, let me have another go at it. When he came back, his second flight was much better than the crash. I guess he just went into championship fighter mode and got the job done. Round one, it was good. Round two was great. The reason why round two was great is because you actually saw the separation of the cream rising to the top and the not so much cream not rising to the top. Some of these guys know they're fighting for fifth place. And right in that section there, you see them fighting for it. But you know some of the guys that know that they're, fighting for first or second or third place. But that fourth and fifth, you can tell there's a little competition there. But it was some great flights. There were some not so great flights. But, I'm not a judge, but I am a spectator and I love the sport and love the competition. There was one part where Tarek wanted everyone to, he said, a mass hover. So Nick Johnson, who I am co-commentating with, was given the task of organizing just a mass hover. So we were all supposed to just hover. And then Nick bumps it up a notch and says, hey, everyone do flips. Let's do some pyro flips. Let's do some blade stops. Let's do some autos. And I literally thought it was going to be a midair. It was not a midair at all. Like, literally all of the pilots did what they needed to do. And they were actually kind of close. I have video up on the Heli Addiction group if you want to check it out. But it was a great day. The weather was perfect. The way this fun fly field, or the field, I should say, is set up, the sun pretty much most of the day is at your back. So if you have a canopy and a boom that, had bright colors, it just really illuminates. It's great for pictures, video, stuff like that. But I will say that the energy and the morale of CD and some of the other competitors that didn't do as well the day before were a lot better. The vibe was high yesterday, but it was definitely higher today. We pretty much know that Kenny Cole and Nick will be on top of the standings. I'm not sure who's going to be third, Baba or Campanoy, but I'm sure CD will be somewhere in the mix of all of these things. I'm actually pretty surprised Peter from Goose Guy hit his flight with music was pretty impressive. I don't know where his standing is, but I would not be surprised if he's up there in that fourth, up there in that fifth, range there. So far, we've got pretty much all XL Power V2s in the 1, 2, and 3 spots. So it would be nice to see a couple Goose Guys mixed up in there. And, we're going to know more today. Today is the top five going with freestyle and music battle out. This is the all out cream rises to the top. Let's see who takes home the big check today. All right. Well, that was a recap of day two, and day three is about to commence. I appreciate you guys, and I'll talk to you soon. Sean K, Heli Direct, over and out.
Man, is it me, or can you just imagine the sound of a heli at probably fairly high head speed going in on a paved runway? That's gotta hurt. Sorry, Nick. That said, I love this yellow card rule, right? So here's how it works. I think you only get one per day, but essentially, if you have a crash or you catch a tail blade and for safety you land mid-flight kind of thing, you can pull the yellow card out, and essentially that means you're not penalized for this one bad flight. So one mishap isn't going to hold you back over the whole contest and be a deciding factor. Throw the yellow card, you're given a certain amount of time, I don't know how much, to get things repaired, and assuming you can get the thing ready to fly in the same day, you can refly that round, which is awesome. I think it lets these guys put their best flights forward and ensure they really get to battle it out without one mistake being the deciding factor. Now, as to this mass hover, you really need to go find that video and check it out. So somehow, while co-commentating, Sean found time to also film and upload a ton of flights regularly to the HeliDirect Heli Addiction Facebook group, where you can find piles of video coverage of the event. So if you want to see a large selection of the pilots' flights, definitely head on over there and check it out. We'll go ahead and put a link in the show notes. Now, at the end of day two, the judges got together and compiled all the results, and at the end of the day, it was announced that the five finalists moving on would be Kenny Ko, flying an XL Power V2 World Championship Edition, Nick Maxwell, also flying for XL Power, Khan Panoy, also flying for XL Power, incidentally all flying the World Championship Edition, Duncan Bossian with his Goose Guy RS7, and Vava Boonmala rounding out the group, flying an SAP Goblin Raw. So with the finalist name, let's get on with what happened on day three. Sean, what you got for us?
So the wrap up for day three, it was magical. It was up, it was down, it was sideways, it was insane, it was pretty predictable at points. Yeah, so basically Nick had, he secured a one or two top spot. He could have won it. The flying was impeccable with everybody. I personally felt like Khan Panoy did the best flight. I feel like Kenny did an excellent flight, and I feel like Nick did a really, really good flight. But the F3C God himself did not land in the box. We kind of ragged him a little bit after that. Well, I guess Rod did. He was talking to Rod, and then he said, well, how did the F3C guy not land in the box? And I was like, that's a great point. And we started laughing. But he came in last, which is not bad. It's still $1,500 in your pocket that you didn't have before. So, but I think Nick is going to be concentrating on doing more of his Nick Maxwell products coming soon. He said, you think this is going to be his, it's pretty sure it's going to be his last competition. He says, because once he gets locked in on a competition, he pretty much doesn't want to do anything else but that. So the ceremonies were amazing. They built the whole stage right before my eyes and set it up. It was a miniature Dubai frame. Everything was top notch, very classy. No corners were cut, no expense spared to give this an official feel and almost like a royalty feel. I felt like it's, I'm a cyclist, so it felt like I was watching the Tour de France when they had their podium there. It was just amazing.
So in the end, after an amazing performance by all the pilots, the final results were Nick Maxwell in fifth, Duncan Bossian in fourth, Khan Panoy in third, Vava Boonmala in second, and the current world champion Kenny Ko once again dominating and taking the top spot. So, when you've got pilots of that caliber there, just missing the box was probably what pushed Nick all the way back to fifth. So, Sean, I'm not going to lie, while following and messaging you back and forth while all this was going on, I was super jealous. This has got to be an amazing trip. So after watching all the flights, co-commenting with Nick Johnson, like, what was your favorite part of the whole event?
My favorite moment of the whole competition was the conversations I would have with Tarek. Tarek is not a messy guy. He's not a vengeful guy. He's just not on that frequency. So my best moment was many moments of us just having real conversations about the hobby, about life, about relationships, about products, about how to perceive or how to view life and such. We actually really didn't talk about actual helicopters that much. We did mention it, but that was probably the best moment for me. Just the conversations I was able to have with Tarek.
Dude, that's awesome, man. It sounds like you guys had a blast. What was it like to work with Nick Johnson? I mean, this guy has commentated like many of the biggest helicopter competitions for years. What was he like?
Amazing. We flowed. His energy was great. He's a very knowledgeable man about airplanes, helicopters, jets. He just had knowledge on every single model that flew that weekend because there were many jets, airplanes, different sizes of jets and airplanes and props and biplane. And he knew about all of it. He's like, oh, that was made in blah, blah, blah. And this and da, da, da. And this is a type motor that's in it. And this is engineer. And it's blah, blah, blah. So just having those real conversations with him and becoming real friends, like we're probably going to go get a beer or something. Like he has this pub. He calls it a pub. He wants to go have a drink at tonight or tomorrow. Yeah. But yeah, it was amazing. And I would do it again. And he thanked me several times and he wished that I was around most times when he was doing a lot of these fun flies and competitions. I know how to get in where I fit in. He's very knowledgeable. So I would kind of just throw him passes and he would just run with it and vice versa. And it was sometimes he would throw me something and I would run with it. So it was amazing. And I would love to do it again. And I hope that he comes back next year because I definitely will as well.
So to wrap things up, you've spent a decent amount of time with Tarek now between this event and the Thailand Heli Blowout. Just how involved is Tarek in the organization at Dubai Masters? Like what drives him to make the whole event happen?
Tarek, it's so funny you should ask this question because Tarek actually answered this question and he said that he does all the organizing. Everything goes through him. He okays it. There is no committee. There is no staff to go back and forth with. He basically did the whole thing himself. And he also said that's why it becomes successful, because the energy from him is displayed in the actual competition. He did certain things on purpose. He wanted to make the pilots feel extremely comfortable. So he wouldn't set certain times to start the competition because he felt like that would make people more anxious about 10 o'clock or 10:15 or whatever. Yes, he did set times for the bus to leave from the hotel to get to the competition site. But besides that, when people showed up, they would just practice when they want, just have a coffee. Also, he had a coffee stand where they would have Arabic coffee. Yeah, I forgot the technical name. It was like six different types. It was crazy. But yeah, it was a laid-back atmosphere. When they came up with the box or getting in the box, they all decided if it was going to be a thing or not, or how far it was going to be away. It was a group effort. They all agreed on certain rules, and it was a pilot's competition. It was no referee. There was no, hey, you got to do this, and this is not blah, blah, blah. It's not official till you. That was done on purpose. Him gathering and speaking with the pilots and going from table to table and spending the time to engage was done on purpose. He cared. The first thing he said he cared about, which is number one, is safety. And that's why the event was moved from one location to another. But he said, you know, we didn't get enough traffic that we wanted to get at the first location, but, you know, he said it's all about the pilots. The pilots liked this location much better. It was more open. There was nothing on the left or the right. The sun was pretty much at their backs like 90% of the day. So it was an act of love. He doesn't have to do this event. He does it because he loves it. He loves the pilots. He shared some information with me about a few of the pilots that maybe didn't, you know, have enough to get there. And he stepped up and tried to do the right thing for some of these kids. He also expressed that some of these kids. He's known them since they were 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, and they're still at it and still perfecting their craft. And he looks at them as his sons, and he's just there for them. So me personally, man, you know, like I said before, I would never say that I know someone. It's hard to say that. I would never say, hey, I know Tarek. But I will say this, what I've seen him do in pleasurable situations and stressful situations, I've seen him be consistently the same, not wavering in what is right and what is wrong, and standing up for what he believes is right in his heart.
Wow, that's awesome, man. You know, I got to say, there was a long time I thought of Tarek as just the king of high head speed. I liked watching his videos. I liked that he flies a ton of different brands of helicopters. But I feel like through a lot of your videos recently and your commentary today that we've kind of gotten to know a little bit of a different side of Tarek, a bit more about the man behind the pilot. He sounds like he's totally an amazing ambassador for the hobby and just an all-around amazing person, put together a fantastic contest. Anyway, Sean, man, I really appreciate you taking some time out of each day to check in with us, give us the inside scoop on what's been going on at the Dubai Masters. So thanks for joining us, man. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I appreciate you allowing me to share this wonderful experience with you and the audience and your fans and subscribers and friends and family. It was an honor. I'd love to do it again. And I hope that all is well with everyone. Talk to you soon.
All right. That wraps it up for this special Dubai Masters edition of the Roto Revolution RC podcast. Special thanks to Sean for handling the remote reporting for us. We've got a great episode coming up in a week for you all with a very special guest. And up after that, we'll have another remote reporter, Mr. Rob Bingham, reporting in from Rotor Live in Germany with the latest on what's new in 2024. Lots of good stuff coming down the road. With that, thanks for listening. And now back to our regularly scheduled program. See ya.
This concludes this episode of the Rotor Revolution RC podcast. To learn more, stay in touch with the team, and to join the revolution, check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/RotorRevolutionRCPodcast or find us on the web at rotorrevolution.live. Help us spread the word and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. For listener questions, advertising inquiries, or to reach out to the entire team, email us at questions@rotorrevolution.live. Thanks for listening.